May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 386. Weary of earth, myself and sin, dear Jesus, set me free, and to thy glory take me in, for there I long to be. Hymn 386.
tonight out of God's most holy word you can find in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. May he add his blessing and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Most holy, gracious, and long-suffering God, O thou who dwells in heaven and art everywhere present, for, O Lord, thou art everywhere as that eternal Spirit, there is no place, O Lord, where thou canst not be found. O gracious and merciful God, we do bow down before thy sacred and holy presence in this evening hour again, in this midweek service, Lord, to turn unto thee. Lord, to whom shall we go? O thou hast the words of eternal life. O it is in thy hand, Lord, to bless us and to forgive us and to shed abroad thy mercy within us. Lord, wilt thou not in thy loving kindness and tender mercies visit each soul that has come this evening hour into this house of prayer? Wilt thou come with thy power and thy love, O Lord God? Wilt thou shine with thy glorious light in this darkness, and that thou might bless us tonight? Lord, we pray unto thee for a tender spirit. We pray, Lord, for an enlightened understanding, a contrite heart, Lord, that comes crawling for mercy. pleading for forgiveness. Oh, a sin-burdened sinner, Lord, one who cannot live any longer with the grief and the sorrow and the weight of that sin. Oh, pleading the gift of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, give us faith tonight. Grant us a sight of yon lovely man and the sacredness and blessings that flow from Calvary. O Father, fill us with those heavenly gifts, those precious blessings to fill our souls with joy and with peace and with trust. O Lord God, do not pass us by this night, but fill this place with thy presence, that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud, to testify, Lord, of thy presence in our midst. O grant even tonight, Lord, that gift of the tongue of the learned, that there may be a message from thee on high to fill our souls with comfort. Lord, we long to be filled with the gospel. We long to partake of that heavenly bread, to have our hunger satisfied and our thirst quenched. O, we long, Lord, to leave the doors of this house of prayer with our hearts burning within us, melted in contrition, melted in love and wonder, for amazing grace, for the chiefest of sinners. Lord, remember us, for we can bring nothing again this night but our sins, our shame, our emptiness and our poverty. But Lord, where we fail, oh, that thou, Lord, who art rich and full, that thou might fill us full with that fountain, and that thou this night again, Lord, we might be cleansed, that we might truly become partakers of that sweet crumb of mercy from the heavenly table. Look thou not upon us, Lord, with our deeds, for we all are sinners and trespassers. But Lord, tonight we plead mercy, that mercy that thou alone hast to give, and that which thou delightest in shedding abroad. Lord, remember the darkened, remember the hardened, remember the obstinate and rebellious, remember the careless and the indifferent. Lord, remember them, that their hearts may be touched, that they may be drawn in. Remember those who came tonight with a desire, a longing, a need, a sorrow. O Lord, that thou might remember such and bring them, draw them, invite them, encourage them to come. O Lord, do give them then that faith and soften their hearts with thy precious love. Lord, do especially remember thy people again who do hunger and thirst after thy presence, who cannot live this life with all its pleasures and all its mirth, who seek that joy in heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ. O give to the thirsting, longing soul thy gifts. Remember them in mercy and fill them with love, and grant that sacred union to the Spirit. O Lord, we pray for that outpouring of love in this church, that they might be bound together in union, that they might be filled with cares for one another, filled with cries and wrestling with thee, for that peace amongst the brethren and sisters, and that precious feeling of unity. Lord, give them all to take the lowest place, the humblest place amongst the church. Add unto them according to thy good will. O Lord, we will wrestle. Open the windows of heaven and grant that everyone here might feel that power. Grant, Lord, that there might be those households. Grant, Lord, that there might be that sweet communion amongst them, that they all together might become thy living church and sons and daughters of thine. Thou art able to do all things, and we plead with thee, Lord, remember this people. Guide the deacons as they choose the hymns and as they are called time to lead. Lord, remember them and give them grace and give them humility and fill them with thy Spirit. Remember our beloved brethren. O guide them, Lord, as they preach thy word, as they come continually feeling their deep dependency, their insufficiencies and incompetency, can do nothing without thee. Oh, open their mouths wide, O gracious God, and fill them with that word from heaven. Pour thy Spirit in rich abundance and grant that he might prove a blessing unto Zion. Oh, give them, Lord, then that strength, and make them a means that he might bring that breaking down of Zion's kingdom, the turning of poor sinners to Jesus. For they know themselves to be but earthen vessels, and they know themselves to be poor men. Lord, remember them. Remember thy servants even now who are in darkness, and those laid aside. Remember thy dear old servants who have labored so many years and feel the frailty of their bodies. O Lord, guide each one. Remember them in their mercy, in thy mercy. Remember our beloved friends at home, and we do commend them all to thy throne of grace again, O Lord God. O how great thou art, and thy pure and holy eyes see all things and know all things. Lord, remember them. And even now, Lord, we pray that thou might remember our dear friends who have had that solemn news of the loss of their mother, and that thou, Lord, might remember them, and that thou might come to appear as that sacred counselor. Lord, that thou might heal with the balm of thy precious blood their sorrows, that thou might come, Lord, to speak a word of comfort, and that thou, Lord, might use these sorrows to prove to be the blessing of their souls. And Lord, to remember all who have trials and troubles, all with sorrows and griefs, sickness and burdens. Lord, remember them in their troubles. Oh, that they might be sanctified, and that they might prove the means of bringing sinners unto thee with their distresses. Oh, Lord, we pray that they may not be those things which do but harden, the things which they soon forget when health comes again. Lord, remember us all together. We are all sinners and feel the dreadful effects of the fall. We come unto thee, Lord, tonight again, that thou, Lord, might rescue us, that thou, Lord, might draw us into thy sacred arms, and that thou, Lord, might reveal the wonders of salvation tonight. Lord, remember this England and those in authority. Remember our leaders and rulers at home. Lord, that thou might remember mercy in a day when we only deserve thy fire from heaven to destroy us. Remember us, Lord, for thou art a God of love, and art able to stir up the hearts of the leaders. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. Lord, remember us in mercy. We would praise thee again tonight. O Lord, we would thank thee for thou art God alone. And all the gods of the nations are but made up gods who are not living, nor real, nor almighty. We thank thee, O Lord God, as thou has all things in thy hand, including us. Thou who hast truly created this world and brought us upon this earth, that thou, Lord, will perform thy counsel and thy will, and none can stay thy hand or say, what doest thou? We do praise thee, Father, for thy power, and yet for thy love, for thy patience. Oh, we do praise thee for that eternal covenant of election, thy everlasting love made known upon earth. And we do thank thee, Heavenly Father, thy wonderful care for thy children, for thy tender eye for their needs, for the blessings for their sorrowing souls, and for the gift of Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. Oh, we do thank thee that thou hast thought out salvation, and that it shall surely come to pass. The wonders of our beloved Savior, the fullness and sufficiency of his salvation in his precious blood. Oh, that thou hast given that gift of faith that we might believe in him, and that we may come unto him and receive forgiveness of sins by him. Oh, wonder of wonders, that thou, Lord God, hast given unto us a throne of grace, and the feeling sense of thy communion and thy tender love to us. And we do praise thee, O Father, for thy Holy Spirit. For thou knowest we are fools and ignorant ones. But oh, that we might all learn, and we might all understand the wonders of salvation, and feel it within our own souls. And all praise and all glory and honor belongeth unto thee. And now we return unto thy holy word, and beg thee remember us as poor sinners, and bless the word to our never-dying souls. And we ask all these things in that precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 278. I know the Lord is nigh, and would but cannot pray. For Satan meets me when I try, and frights my soul away. Hymn 278.
the help of the Lord again for this evening hour. We draw your prayerful attention to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and the 9th verse. Song of Solomon 2, verse 9. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. To speak this evening as the Lord may direct my thoughts, beloved friends, concerning the sacred glimpses of grace, the sacred appearings of the Lord Jesus Christ into the heart of his beloved. This is an exceeding precious book. This is the testimony, beloved friends, of the beloved bridegroom and his beloved bride, and the wonderful testimony of that sacred love that they have together, a mutual love. There are the expressions of love from the bride to the bridegroom, as she cries unto him that he might let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. In the 13th verse, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Oh, there is such a precious testimony as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. So is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. We have here in this book, beloved friends, the continual expression of love and the desire of love and the desire of the appearing of this beloved one into the presence of the bride, that his joy and that his presence may be communicated into her soul, and that she might be cheered with his embraces, with his expressions of his love, of his kindness, of his blessings, of the outpouring of his grace and his mercy within her, and that her delight was with him. But we see, beloved friends, that it is not only her, but it is also him, that he has that expression of delight that is stated continually in this book of his delight to her, of his love to her, continual, eternal, and that she shall fare well because he loves her continually. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes, her looks, her petitions, her uplifted eye to heaven, her pleas and her requests unto him are so exceedingly pleasing in his sight that her cries and her delight for him wins him over. We read there, as a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. What a pleasant fragrance, what a pleasant smell is his beloved bride amongst the daughters. And he expresses that love. And he testifies in this chapter, beloved friends, how he brings her into his banqueting house and he spreads before her the table of his eternal love for her. And he feeds her with himself, the bread from heaven. And he communicates his love into her poor soul. For there is none other than her that he delights in. Oh, what a sacred wonder, dear friends, if you and I may know something of that communion with the beloved bridegroom. We see that testimony in John's disciples. When John came to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ, he had the disciples around him. But when Jesus came, he would point to his disciples, to Jesus. He would point him to the one who was far greater, far more worthy and preferred before him, for he was before him. And when they began to flock to Jesus Christ, and his disciples expressed their alarm, he pointed them to Jesus. That is the one that you must seek after. That must be your eternal delight. I am the friend of the bridegroom. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease. Oh, dear friends, oh, do we have that same longing and desire to know him and to have those glimpses of grace in him and to have our souls filled with the sacred, humble, precious delight in the glimpses of yon lovely man? The expressions of delight, behold, I have seen him. Oh, the Lord Jesus has appeared unto me. I have seen a glimpse, a sight, a fleeting passing of my Savior, but I know in my soul it is him. Let's step back for a moment, beloved friends. Our text words say that my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. There's something instructive in this. And it may be unto our beloved friends who are in that, we would say, a timid state, a fearful state. Oh, they know so little of him. Oh, they have tasted a passing moment, a fleeting glimpse of him. Was it real? Was it from the Savior? And now he is gone. We want to bring in the example of the roe or the young hart to show us how the Lord works at times with his bride. He doesn't say, I am the roaring lion, coming out in the bold daylight, coming out in the broad daylight and showing himself with boldness and impudence like the lion, roaring against his prey. Nor does he compare himself then to the cattle lowing upon the fields, grazing contentedly there in the fields. He compares himself to the roe or the young hart. I was sitting this morning meditating beside the window, and out of the side of my eye I seen a flash. And my eye was directed out into the field, and there was the exact picture, beloved friends, of what we're speaking tonight. A young roe walking, bouncing through the brush, barely seeing him, very seldom stopping. I got a glimpse, and then she kept moving, feeding. Moving, alert, and moving again, always slightly hidden, never completely revealed. And then turning behind a pile of brush and gone. Like a roe or a young hart. So the Lord in our text reveals himself, how he reveals himself to his children. How sometimes he comes like a roe or a young hart. He standeth behind our wall. He showeth himself through the window and he through the lattice. A fleeting glimpse of yon lovely man to a particular person, beloved friends. A heart that desires and needs Jesus Christ. A soul who has a sparked interest in the person of Jesus Christ. Unto such Jesus comes. Oh, he gives those fleeting glimpses of himself. He gives beloved friends a spark of desire. He raises up a living hope in him. Not a full hope. Not a full assurance of hope. But a fleeting glimpse of a hope in the dying Savior. Now, my mind was drawn, beloved friends, to Matthew 22, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there we have two subjects. We have those whom in Matthew 22 is described as, and they would not come. The marriage supper of the great king was prepared, and he had killed his ox and his fatlings, and the supper was prepared, and he bid his guests come. And there was a people that would not come, and there was a people declared in that parable that they set light by him. Oh, they considered no value to the marriage supper. They had no hunger, no desire to be present at that supper. And they would not come. But there was a people, beloved friends, both good and bad. There was a people found in the highways and in the hedges. And that people were bid to come. And they sat down in their wedding garments at the marriage supper. And they were participants of that feast. And as much as say, beloved friends, the bride is such a one who may come to the marriage feast, the marriage supper, with a delight and with a desire. One whose interest has been sparked in Jesus Christ. One, beloved friends, we come again to the message of a sin-burdened sinner. One whom the name of that precious one from heaven is so precious that he is a friend of publicans and sinners. That he is the man that can save his people from their sins. That he is the sacred one who delights in hearing their voice, where we'll soon come to. He is the one who delights in seeing their eyes come to him. Is their pleas pleading with him. And their longing for him. It's as much to say, dear friends, as I was looking in that window, and the deer went around the pile of brush and saw him no more. We could compare it to two subjects, seeing that deer. The one is completely disinterested in the heart of the young roe, a young heart of roe. There, dear friends, we may be one that has seen it at a passing glance and has no more desire to find it. And the other one keeps looking. Where is he? Where is that one? Shall I see him again appear behind the brush? Shall I see him feeding further out in the field? Shall he come closer unto me? Shall I see his presence underneath my window? So it is in grace, beloved friends. Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit, has sparked an interest in his soul that the Lord Jesus Christ might appear. And their eye is looking out. And they might say here in this chapter, my beloved is like a young roe or heart, or a roe or a young heart. My beloved standeth behind my wall. I have seen a glimpse of him. Oh, friends, do we have such a living hope, a small hope? We would call it childlike hope, and we would scarce call it a hope, but we have seen the glimpse of the beloved. In our poor, trembling, sinful frame, beloved friends, do we have a hope that clings fast to the garment of yon lovely man? There is one who alone can save me from my sins. And Jesus, oh, he is my hope. Do we have, friends, have we had such a passing glimpse of that sweet sufficiency in Jesus Christ? As Jesus declares himself to be the living way, the truth. I'm the way, the life, and the truth. And that we might see, beloved friends, that we might see that path at a distance and afar off. And that we might be encouraged to set our feet, our timid little feet, our childlike feet upon that path. Oh, dear friends, have we seen our beloved Jesus Christ at that distance? And has it brought within us, oh, that little confidence, we would say? So often when we do get those glimpses of grace, as primarily in the beginning of that conflict, oh, we scarce can believe it is for us. We scarce can trust that precious Jesus, all that Savior of sinners and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, should ever, ever look down upon us, so unworthy to receive the least of his blessings. Oh, dear friends, the Lord has come for such people. The Lord has come for the unworthy ones. And by his supernatural and divine workings, oh, he sparks in that people the eye that sees him when none other should ever behold him. The Lord puts in his people, beloved friends, a longing to find him, and they are inwardly seeking, searching, and groaning for him. Oh, friends, do we know such groaning of spirit for the person of Jesus Christ? And have we tasted something of his kindness, but scarce can trust it was real? Oh, have we seen those glimpses of grace through the lattice, and now he is gone? Do we know that lamentable cry of Psalm chapter 10, verse 1? Why standest thou, O Lord God, afar off? Do we know, dear friends, these workings of grace and the appearings of the Lord Jesus Christ like the beloved bride did? The Lord Jesus has appeared. We see that it is the spark of desire has been wrought up in our heart, and our desire we cannot deny is that the Lord might come. And if we have tasted a raising up of hope, that we cry, Lord, come again. Lord, shine in my soul again. Beloved friends, if we can come here with in our text words, oh, the Lord will never abandon. For when we have a glimpse of the grace of that beloved Savior in our poor condition, it is to prepare us, beloved friends, for more visits. It is, beloved friends, what we say, we call that infectious love. When the Lord shines into a heart, and when the Lord gives a glimpse of His beauty, when the Lord gives a glimpse of His suitability, when the Lord gives a glimpse of His sufficiency for salvation, it is to make us long for more. It is to bring in our hearts, dear friends, and in our prayers a cry that the Lord might come again. He may touch our hearts again, that He might shine once more. And so it is in that natural way, as that one keeps looking out that window for that heart to peer again and again. So the child of God, the beloved bride, is crying unto Jesus, Lord, appear once more. Do we know, beloved friends, of this cry? Do we know, dear friends, of these sacred enshinings of the Holy Spirit testifying of the wonders of the dying Savior? Have we seen, dear friends, that there is such a sacredness in that dear dying man? Oh, does our hearts go out when we hear others speak of the wonders of redemption and of the rich favors of Christ Jesus known in their souls? Have your hearts been touched, dear friends, in such a way that we cannot live any longer in life anymore as we formerly have, and that we are searching and seeking out to find this beloved Jesus? Each of the sermons, beloved friends, are exactly the same message. Oh, we turn them around, we come from a different angle. But every single time the sermon comes again to the wonders of the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ's robe that He has wrought on earth, that there is a righteousness, beloved friends. We may have a sense of the need of that righteousness. We may have seen the beauty of that righteousness of Christ, but we do not possess that fullness of that righteousness or the complete awareness of that righteousness. Have we had a glimpse, beloved friends, of that precious righteousness of God, and we do not possess it? Has Jesus shown us, oh, what a holy and precious and spotless high priest He is, and we know Him not? Does yet your heart yearn, beloved friends, for that Savior to come and to the wonders of that righteousness to be applied to your soul? The glimpses of grace, the glimpses of the wonders of salvation. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. He standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows and showing Himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me. You see, dear friends, the Lord shows Himself. He shows Himself that He might encourage us to come to speak to us and say, my fair one, my love. And then we might stand back and say, me? Is the Lord speaking to me? A defiled sinner? A ruined sinner? One whose heart is dreadfully wicked and deceitful? One prone to all evil and prone to wickedness and to wander? The Lord appears, beloved friends, like He did here in chapter 2. And He says, my beloved spake unto me and said unto me, arise, my fair one, and my love, and come away. To draw them out of self and out of the world into His presence. Oh, the Lord, and the Lord encourages beloved friends, how precious He is to their souls. And He, the one thing needful, is the only way to escape the dreadful judgment and eternal damnation. Have we seen Him, beloved friends, as the only means of escape? Have we had such words applied to us? How then shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which first began to be spoken to us by the prophets, but now has been spoken unto us by Jesus? Have we had, beloved friends, a glimpse of him as the only way, the only hope of escape? Has the Lord brought us, friends, to tremble because eternity is coming near and it hastens before our sight? And yon lovely man on the cross, the dear dying Savior, the blessed Son of God, is our only hope. Are you such searching people, friends? Have we had a glimpse of him as a hope of escape? We just had it in the news just before service. The sudden departure out of this world of the mother of one of our dear friends. And all we can say, beloved friends, is that we've been all born to die, all of us. And that sentence, that news shall come to each one of us, that the sickle of death shall be thrust in, and we shall all be summoned before the day, before the judgment seat of the great King, whose eyes are a flame of fire, and his feet pillars of brass, and he judges the quick and the dead. But oh, dear friends, if we may have a glimpse of him who is a means that we might be saved from condemnation and from damnation, it is a means of drawing a soul to the feet of Jesus Christ as a merciful, faithful high priest. These glimpses of grace, the showing through the lattice and showing himself through the window of the soul, beloved friends, is to touch the heart by supernatural power and draw a poor sinner to his feet to commune with him and to taste of his loving kindness. Arise, my fair one, my love, and come away, for the winter is past. Oh, dear friends, have we seen the glimpse of Jesus Christ as life, and we as dead sinners? Have we trembled, dear friends, in that sense that we cannot even stir ourselves up? We sung in our hymn, did we not? That we can't even believe, we cannot hope, we cannot live the life of Christianity or following his commandments. Have we seen, dear friends, the deadness of our spirit and mourned it? But has Jesus shown us, I am your life. I am the only hope that you shall have resurrection power. Jesus reveals himself by his spirit, dear friends, to his bride, that through me ye shall live. That wonderful word that the Lord said to Martha herself concerning resurrection power. Though one were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? Have we seen him, beloved friends, through the lattice? Have we seen him through the window as our life? Our spiritual life? Those whom the Lord reveals himself as the means of life will press toward him. They have the spark, the interest put within them by God himself. And when God once begins that work of grace, when God once begins to shine in the heart of his people, he will continue on that work. He will manifest his appearances more and more. He will bring them further and further into discoveries of yon lovely man to their soul until their souls are infected with that love. This chapter testifies of it, friends. The winter is past, that coldness and barrenness is past, and the spring season has come where the buds come upon the trees, the fruit trees, and they shall bring forth their fruit. The sun of righteousness shall rise with heat and shall bring into the coldness of hearts the heat of his presence. Has he shown you cold ones, indifferent ones, and ones who cannot move but long to move and cry with petitions to heaven, Lord, warm my heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you seen him, the Son of Righteousness, friends? And unto you that fear my name shall he arise, the Son of Righteousness, with healing in his wings. Have we had glimpses of him in this aspect, friends? The question comes again this evening, ours is every time. What think ye of Christ is a test to try both your state and your scheme. The bride, beloved friends, has seen Jesus. has had glimpses of him in his beauty in his or her lives? Have we? Has he melted our souls and our cries go to heaven? Oh, friends, there is such a sacredness in the glimpses of Christ through the window. There is the melting of the heart and the drawing of the soul unto Jesus Christ. My fair one said unto me, rise up and come away, my love, my undefiled. And beloved friends, when we may hear the Lord speak unto us in such a manner, our hearts are drawn unto him and our hearts are melted in wonder. Sorrow and grief and love and joy together. The wonders of Christ appearing to our soul. Do we know, beloved friends, these visits? And are we fearful now? Oh, that the Lord has gone. Beloved friends, do we despise the day of small things? Have we said, oh, it's just a little thing? The Lord's people, beloved friends, oh, they desire and long that the Lord will come again and bless again and again and again. One visit, I believe I've already said it here, one visit is insufficient to them. Oh, it will stir up a hungering and will stir up a desire to know him more and more and more. The sweetest, beloved friends, of experiences just last night, I was reminded that I'm getting older, that I'm aging quickly. And in my heart, when I went to bed, I cried unto the Lord that I might be prepared for eternity and that I might know him. And you know, dear friends, you know what the feeling came into my soul, the accusation? Is that all you want Jesus for? Is that all you want Jesus for? That you might get to heaven? And then the sight was drawn to all my sins. I'll be careful when I say it. To so many of my sins. And the sufficiency of Jesus shines through the lattice of the windows and reveals the sacredness of his dying, of his death, and the fullness of his atonement. And the wonders of his dying love to such an ignorant fool. And is then, beloved friends, when that appearance of Christ comes again and our souls are brought into such low contrition, we understand how wretched we are, how foolish we are, and the Lord will shine again into the soul of the wonders of that banqueting house in his dying love. And then our hearts will be melted and the sweetest of contrition of yon lovely man. These visits, beloved friends, what we are speaking of, the glimpses of the grace of Christ, the glimpses of his beauty and sufficiency, are to prepare us for further discoveries of his wonder, of his kindness, of his mercy and compassion to wretched sinners on this earth. O child of God, in our midst, if you have tasted of these glimpses, the Lord shall bring you on further. Though tonight you may be in that place of the greatest of darkness and the greatest of consternation, you may be brought to that low place to wonder, was it real in my soul? And why should the Lord ever look upon such a wretched sinner as I? Dear friends, God is glorified in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the wonders of bringing this bride into his arms. He is. She said, I am black but comely. And so you see, beloved friends, every single sermon we need to remind ourselves again, do you know your blackness? Do you know, beloved friends, the reason that Jesus Christ came to earth? Have you felt, dear friends, yourself sinking lower and lower and lower, and soon you shall be plucked up and cast into hell? Have we mourned our solemn state, beloved friends, and felt our emptiness and wretchedness? But then has it brought us, beloved friends, that Christ might be shown to us, Christ revealed to us, Christ made special to us, Christ made vital to us, And the necessity of Jesus appearing consumes us, beloved friends. Consumes us. Give me Christ, or I die. And there'll be times, there'll be those seasons, friends. There will be the seasons the Lord will convict us. And the Lord will bring us in pleas to heaven, to this precious, beloved bridegroom. Lord, have mercy on my poor soul. Lord, that I might have a glimpse of thy sacred person, and that my heart might be melted one more time. One more time, O Lord. Do you know that, friends? One more visit of Jesus. One more blessing. One more melting of my heart. One more answer to my pleas. One more kiss of thy gracious lips. These are sacred things. That Jesus should kiss me, the vilest of sinners. That Jesus should embrace me. That Jesus should encourage me. That Jesus should shine with reality in my soul and melt my heart. And I might say, he has come. My Savior has come again and visited my soul and cheered my desponding spirit. Oh, the Lord, beloved friends, becomes, that's what in this song it ends up. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Well, the inshinings of Christ in my soul has melted my heart in complete admiration of what this bridegroom has done. He is the only bridegroom, beloved friends, that loves with such a love as Jesus does. He loves the vilest of the brides and brings her to himself. He takes away all of her sinfulness and makes her a holy bride. He fills her, dear friends, with grace after grace after grace. Though she is so wretched and unworthy and she's forever turning her back upon himself, yet he loves her eternally. Have you seen, dear friends, such glimpses of him? Has he shone in your hearts in such knowledge of him? And is he won over your souls to him? You can start, this book goes on with those portions of scripture where we find that she becomes a lazy bride. By night I sought him upon my bed. I wasn't going to find him there. The Lord withdraws. She'll find him, but she'll find him by seeking. She went out in the streets to find him and to seek after his presence again, that again he might be shown to her. Oh, friends, the child of God is such a weak sinner, such a fickle sinner, such a foolish one. But Jesus, time after time, smites the heart with guilt and brings that soul into conviction, turns the cry unto heaven and begs, Lord Jesus, my beloved bridegroom, my beloved lover and eternal friend, oh, shine again with another visit. That's what it says here, beloved friends. Go to verse 14. Oh, my dove that are in the clefts of the rock and the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. When the Lord once visits our soul and shines in our spirits, in our hearts, in the truth and reality of who he is, he will bring within us, friends. And the hymn writer said, oh, they long to believe, and they long to pray and cry, but the Lord will make them believe, and the Lord will make them cry, and the Lord will surely set it that he will hear her voice. Or maybe tonight we have a silent Christian, one whose mouth is stopped and put into the dust of the dunghill, filled with a base and shame of their own lowsomeness and sinfulness. The Lord will stir up the heart, beloved friends, and show his faithfulness and show his compassion to his wandering sheep. Oh, we like sheep have wandered and strayed, said Peter in his epistle, but are now returned unto the best bishop and a shepherd of our souls. How? Well, the voice of that soul, dear friends, ascends into heaven. Lord, appear again. Oh, how lonely is my place. How deserted is that place without thee, O precious husband of mine. Let me see thy face. Oh, let me see thy presence. That's how the Lord will hear the voice of his bride. Child of God in her midst, does the Lord Jesus hear your voice? Does the Lord Jesus Christ hear your pleas? Are we such ones, beloved friends, who come to the throne of grace not by tradition and not by form, but by urgency that the blessed Jesus might appear again? Are we lackadaisical Christians? We have put on a profession of faith. We have become members. We have been baptized. And now it is well with our souls. Oh, beloved friends, are we exercised with that need to become a holier Christian? More conformed to the image of precious Jesus? A closer follower of Jesus Christ, a closer disciple of Jesus Christ, a purer bride of Jesus Christ, whose love is true and pure to her beloved husband. We're continually, at least I am in my own heart, perhaps I'm worse than anybody else. I'm continually reminded, beloved friends, and it brings shame, how wretched is my heart and how faithful is my vows and devotion to Jesus. But if we're the Lord's true bride, he will never leave us in that place, friends. He will smite us with the rod. He will bring within us the deepest of sorrows that we have turned our backs on him or we're not faithful to him. That's how faithful Jesus is. And he will make us, beloved friends, long for Jesus to return again. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. I just want to move quickly, dear friends, to that comeliness of the bride. Why is the bride beautiful? How is the bride beautiful? Again, we would say, friends, by the visits of Jesus Christ as he adorns her with his gifts, with his robe, with his sacred ring, and with the ornaments of grace. The ornaments of graces. That's how she's lovely. She has no loveliness in herself. He visits her soul from time to time and grants unto her the revelations of who he is, her bridegroom. Her comeliness. It's in Ezekiel 16. It's the comeliness which I put upon her. When we think of that beautiful, beautiful wedding gown of the bride, it is, beloved friends, the holy, spotless obedience of Jesus Christ who marries himself to that vile bride. She is the most beautiful bride, because her gown is the work of Jesus Christ, made known to her. Made known. She glories in her precious bridegroom, friends. She glistens with beauty. There is no gown more beautiful, nor perfect, nor applicable than the gown of the bride. Holiness imputed to her, the filthiest of wretches on the face of the earth. Had we had a glimpse, beloved friends, has Jesus shown himself as such a bridegroom to us? Has he adorned our wretchedness with his beauty and holiness? What has it done to us? What a fact, beloved friends, has that glorious gown produced upon us? Have we rejoiced in our beloved bridegroom? Do we rejoice like the hymn writer? I'm blessed, I'm blessed. My rags are gone, I'm dressed in garments white as snow. And I can't say it exactly, but you can say it for me, beloved friends, of the glories of the Lamb, whose beauties I can ne'er explain, nor half his glory show. Oh, that Jesus has clothed me with the righteousness from heaven, a righteousness now that I need not fear the anger and wrath of God. A glorious robe shall open the gates of heaven and allow me in. Oh, that wonderful imputation of Jesus Christ to me. He died for me. He who knew no sin became sin that I might have the righteousness of God in me. Again, beloved friends, when we think of those graces, the ornaments of grace, that faith to believe in him as he shines within us and shows that he is the one that we ought to believe, that is worthy to be believed in. And faith brings the eye, beholds that precious Lamb of God. Faith believes that he is the sinner, the Savior slain for sinners, for me. And all my blackness and all my vileness is taken away. Have we ever had, dear friends, a glimpse of the suitability of Christ as Savior for our souls? And longed, Lord, that I might receive the fullness of this glimpse. Are you such pleaders tonight, dear friends? The Lord's children become pleaders after this sight and shall receive the petition of the heart. For the Lord is pleased with their cries, their anxious cries, and their calls to him. Beloved friends, those who have a little hope, those who have had a little hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of salvation, a well-grounded, a well-founded hope upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is a sweet grace, a sweet ornament to the bride. She receives more than a little hope, dear friends. The Lord will come again to enliven that hope, to strengthen that hope, to be a living hope, and to be founded upon him. That's a grace, that's a beauty of the bride. The true piousness, I'm not talking a feigned self-righteous piety, I'm talking about desire of the bride to walk faithfully with her husband, to walk in his holding his hand and loving him and being obedient to him. How little we realize in this day how we have this woman liberation, and how we have women are to be equal with mankind. And women have all places of eminency amongst mankind. How little do they understand the beauty of that grace of the bride to be that one that is inferior to her bride, the one that depends on her bridegroom and longs for her bridegroom to do all things for her. And her bridegroom has done all things for her. Oh, she adores him, she follows him, she loves him, for he is all things to her. Equally so, we say to the husbands, how little we realize the responsibility we have when we have this bridegroom in our sight. And the faithfulness of this bridegroom to his bride, and the loving kindness of this bridegroom to his bride, and his constant care of this bridegroom to his bride, and how he has forgiven her all her unfaithfulness. How he loves her with an eternal precious love. That we as husbands may consider these things more and more. And that we might continually be looking unto Jesus for the example of how to teach our precious wives. But let's return, dear friends, to the graces and the ornaments of the bride. How beautiful she is in the sight of Jesus. She resembles him. The Lord has visited her and blessed her. And she is in union with him, one with him. Oh, that tonight we might find a little comfort in our souls if we are those who are those trembling little ones, unworthy ones who do have a little hope, a little desire, an earnest desire, if we have seen, him at a distance. This, beloved friends, is a testimony, if that work may be real, if it's a true inward stirring of the heart, that the Lord Jesus Christ might come again. If we as poor sinners will not and cannot put our hands to the work, that we wait for him to come again. We wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might prove his love to us, and that he might appear again to further that work within us. You see, friends, the greatest danger that we can ever make is to go before him. To go before him. The Lord would have his people. I say that at home all the time. I believe it in my heart. He would have us as poor, begging souls. And this word affirms it tonight. That our cry to him in heaven, that our faithful and merciful high priest might remember us in his loving kindness and further his work and glorify his work in our poor souls. That all the honor and praise and glory might be unto God alone. and we might receive the comfort of him within us. That's what I hope and pray for each of us, friends, that we might know something of this one who has appeared through, behind the wall and through the window and shows himself through the lattice, that he will further that work in your heart, and that he will prove himself to be the faithful Savior, the gracious Savior, that he might come and open the handle of the door of our homes, that he might enter into our souls and fill our hearts with his love, and confirm that work that he has begun, that our souls may at his appointed time may testify of his loving kindness. My Savior has appeared unto my soul, and I will declare his love unto others, what he has done to me. Beloved friends, and each of the members, each of the Lord's people in our midst tonight, may the Lord truly hear your voices. May the Lord hear your voices continually. May there be those pleas day and night. Friends, this isn't, you say, well, surely you must sleep. Surely I must give my rest. No. The Lord would have us exercise day and night. And the Lord would hear our voice, beloved friends, crying unto him. And on those people, I've tasted it time and time again. The Lord will bring in a state, a circumstance, an occasion. And that occasion will stir our souls and it'll rise to heaven crying for mercy, crying for this Jesus to appear again. And those who know these exercises and know these pleas and know that the God of heaven hears their prayers will receive the answers and petitions that they send to him. May Jesus Christ become our Savior. May we, beloved friends, be brought into this sacred chapter, the Song of Solomon's. May there be that mutual love of the Savior with us. May we be the beloveds and the beloved ours. And may he bring us into his banqueting house and spread over us that banner of love. May he fill us with his riches, with his graces, with his continual appearance in our souls. May he prove to be the comforter of our souls in distress. May he prove, beloved friends, to be the joy and delight of our souls. May he prove, beloved friends, to be that true Savior of sinners and that fountain open up for sin and uncleanness. Oh, you can go on and on and on and on of the sacred glimpses of Jesus Christ and that confirmational glimpses as those souls are brought further and further in the wilderness, but deeper and deeper into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, their Savior, and their own filthiness and wickedness and feebleness. And so that beloved bride, beloved friends, will know it is, I sat under his shadow with great delight. May he bless all our souls with the knowledge of himself in this measure. May he shine in our souls continually, and may he have all the praise, honor, and glory forever and ever. But may our souls all be overjoyed with the visits of this blessed Savior. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Decker will preach next Lord's Day and on Tuesday evening next week, and will address the young people's meeting on Friday evening this week. Let us close with hymn 902. Let him who thirsts for heavenly joys come unto me, the Saviour cries, and drink at my spring head. Leave all your boasting self behind, for from the Saviour you shall find a glorious life indeed. Hymn 902.
now, dear Lord, do forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen in our gathering together this evening. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.